So if I take the sum of everything I said, you're running at a 10 to 18 point margin, better than a restaurant, which is why I don't like food. But you're making it attractive because you're so laser focused. All right, welcome to Pursuit of Profit, the podcast for people who want to build profitable businesses without guessing, gambling, or costly mistakes. If you've ever been told that bakeries are low margin, labor heavy, and impossible to scale, this episode's going to challenge that belief in a very big way. Today, we're diving into one of the fastest growing food categories in the United States, small batch artisan baking, and why it's quietly outperforming traditional restaurant models. And if you're an aspiring franchise owner looking for a business that doesn't rely on late nights, razor-thin margins, or constant discounting, this conversation's for you. At its core, Breadhouse wasn't built on a food trend. It was built on a simple moment customers kept repeating, quote, "I can finally eat bread again," end quote. My guest is Brian Mata, the new owner and franchisor of Breadhouse Bakery in Grapevine, Texas. He didn't just buy a beloved local bakery. He uncovered a business model built on a naturally leavened bread, disciplined operations, and economics most restaurants never see. In this episode, you'll discover why artisan bakeries are growing faster than conventional bakeries, and what's driving that demand, how Breadhouse produces restaurant-level revenue with dramatically better margins, and what it really takes to franchise a craft-driven concept without destroying what makes it special. If you've ever wondered whether there's a smarter way to build a profitable food business or whether concepts like this can actually scale, you want to listen all the way through. All right, let's get into it. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says the Florida department tested bread products for herbicides and found glyphosate in 6 out of 8 samples. These are brands that everyone listening has eaten. Nature's Own, whether it's their butter bread or the perfectly crafted white. People are really pissed off because Dave's Killer Bread, which is supposed to be organic, ended up on the list. So, that being said, that's my opener for you. What is going on?
Yeah, I think people are starting to finally wake up and look at what's going into the food supply, what's going into their bodies. And I think it's something that people are really conscious about. And I think it's really good that we're starting to test all these things and starting to get more answers about, you know, what are we eating? What's in our food supply? And I think it's more than just a trend. I think it's something that, you know, is very important. And I'm glad people are waking up to it.
What are you doing at Breadhouse, and how are you getting those lines out the door? Because it's not just you, it's your category that's growing exponentially while the traditional bread maker with chemicals is declining. What are you doing over there?
Yeah, so we specialize in long fermented bread. So for instance, our sourdough, you know, it takes 3 to 4 days to make. It's our top seller. We use all organic flours, grains, and seeds in our food. So it takes longer to make a loaf of bread. Like I said, that long fermentation, you know, it takes 3 to 4 days, but it's worth it because what happens during that is it kills off a lot of the gluten fibers in the bread. And, you know, it's a harder way to do it, but it's the right way to do it. Our bread lasts about 3 to 4 days on the shelf. And after that, we tell people, you know, put in the freezer. We don't use any preservatives in our bread. It's unfortified, not enriched, all organic. So we really focus on not only how many ingredients are going into our food, but also, you know, the type of ingredients. And our sourdough, for example, it only has 3 ingredients. So it's just flour, water, and salt. So yeah, so it's a stark contrast to what you're getting at a grocery store.
Most people don't get the full story when they start exploring franchising. So they make mistakes that cost them big. That's why my business partner, Justin Guevara, and I wrote Beyond the Brand, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Fearless Franchising. It is our proven 6-step process at Phrenosity to help you find the right franchise, avoid costly pitfalls, and build a business that truly fits your goals. Grab your copy of Beyond the Brand on Amazon or any major book retailer and start building your future fearlessly. So go back. We're talking 3-4 days. Now we have the dough and now you're baking it. What is the actual 3-4 days? Is it a bake and rest and let it sit?
So it starts with us feeding. We have a sourdough starter. So it starts with that. So we'll feed the starter. It'll go in our walk-in, start to get ready to put in our bread. Then we'll do a mix it all up. And then we have a whole system of it going into the walk-in to retard the bread, and then comes out for a few hours and then back in. It's a whole system that we have put in place for that long fermentation process. So it's one of the things that kind of sets us apart and kind of gives us a moat, because, you know, I don't want to name names, but other chains aren't going to all of a sudden wake up and say, hey, you know what, let's do this long fermentation thing. This is the way things are going. It's not something that you can just pick up and start right away.
Is this your secret sauce? Like how you're doing this? I say this respectfully, and you should be. You seem like a little guarded, right? It's like, I'm not going to tell you exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like, right. So yeah. This is the European way of making, you know, bread, sustainable bread, healthier bread.
Yeah, it's definitely what sets us apart is our systems, which is why we decided to go the franchise route, because we think our business is scalable with the model that we've built and the systems that we've built. And a lot of our competition isn't grocery stores or bakeries. It's you know, people who are baking their sourdough bread at home. You know, they're health conscious. They're focused on, you know, what they're feeding themselves and their families, and they want to make it the right way. And there's not many options for them. There's not many alternatives for them than to make it at home. So you have a lot of our competition is really people who are making it at home and sharing it with their community, going to farmers markets, things like that. But they haven't figured out how to scale it. Maybe they don't even, you know, necessarily want to scale it, but it's something that sets us apart as our systems and being able to scale at size that we do. I didn't go to culinary school. I'm not a bread baker. I didn't work in bakeries. I never even worked in, you know, restaurants or any type of food and beverage. But during COVID was a time, you know, I like to bake at home and do different things. And during COVID, you know, people started, you know, seeing on TikTok of people doing sourdough bread and things like that. So you're at home, nothing else to do. I was like, let me try that. And it is actually harder to do it at home. It's hard to keep a starter, you know, at a consistent temperature, make sure you're doing everything the right way. It's much easier in a commercial kitchen. But yeah, so that's how I kind of got introduced to sourdough. It was back during COVID and learning all those different things and the techniques and how hard it is to get into it.
That's great. Right. So you acquired Bread House from the original founders. Were they European? Were they from Europe and came over here?
The wife, she was German descent. That's why the house is German spelled. But yeah, she was from Germany. A lot of our recipes are German inspired. I'm Portuguese. That's my background. So it ties into the whole European thing. But yeah, she created a lot of the recipes and the systems and perfected it over the past 30 years. This is our 30th year in business. So yeah.
Store looks beautiful, man.
Thank you.
And it does. It's a nice end cap. Is that freestanding or is that an angle? I'm saying it's an end cap.
It is freestanding.
It is.
Yeah. So they started on Main Street here. And after a few years, outgrew it and decided to build their own building.
Good for them. I building's beautiful. I mean, it shows.
Yeah.
If you're going to become a franchisor, that's the flagship location. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you got some great revenue numbers that we'll get into in a minute. And there's some good stuff to unpack here. I also can say this 1,000 times. I live in America. I can't eat pasta. I can't eat bread. Oh, okay. I go to Europe. I had the time of my life. I could eat anything I want.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I have this conversation with our guests all the time. And I have people that come in and they're like, you know, I haven't had bread in 10 years. You know, I have a gluten intolerance. Your bread's the only bread I can eat. And that's basically how the business has grown. It's been all organic of people so excited that they can finally eat bread again. And you know, they just tell all their friends and family and we've really grown organically through that. And yeah, that same story I hear day after day of like, hey, I traveled to Europe and I was eating all the pasta and bread that I wanted, no issues. And I come back here and it's, you know, completely different. So that's definitely something. And like I said at the top is I'm glad that, you know, we're starting to look into that as a society and we're really becoming conscious of what's going into our bodies and our food supply.
Absolutely. Totally agree. The pendulum is swinging violently in the other direction now, and people are starting to challenge everything. They're questioning everything. They're questioning the three-letter agencies that say, no, glyphosate's okay in small doses. Oh, okay. Right. I mean, no one should be eating this crap. It's just really sad. We're giving it to our children. And then they want to medicate that. It's like the whole thing is just, it's not just, oh, I get bloated. This has like nervous system issues. You have endocrine system issues. There's neurological issues. There's respiratory issues to some of these preservatives and additives that they put in these products. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So you purchase this location. They own the building. So now you take it over with your spouse. You're now a franchise. No, you're now just a single unit owner of a bread business, bakery. Then you decide, you know what? We need to scale this thing and franchise it. Take me there. How did that happen?
So my wife and I, were looking for a business that we could grow, but we wanted something that, we have two little kids. We wanted something that we could bring our kids to and, you know, have them, you know, be proud of and something that they could be involved in. And we actually looked at some franchise concepts and some other businesses, and it wasn't something that, you know, it didn't really fit our lifestyle and how we lived at home. And Bread House was the exact opposite. It was exactly how we live at home. Every time, you know, the groceries comes in, we're looking at the ingredients where we're seeing, you know, what we're eating, what we're feeding our kids. And our kids are now actually very cognizant of what they're eating, and that they're checking the ingredients for us too. So yeah, so we found Bread House. We're very fortunate to find it. I always say the previous owners, they built such a great foundation. They had no intentions of growing it though, that they were just, they loved baking and that's what they wanted to do. And they had no plans of expanding, which was something that we wanted to do. And when we got in, we originally thought, you know, let's get this going. Let's learn the whole system, you know, improve what we can, and then add, you know, a couple more corporate locations and kind of slowly grow this. And then quickly we realized the demand is so high for what we're doing. We have people on the weekends driving over an hour, 2 hours to come load up on bread for the week for their family. And we kind of sat back and thought to ourselves, like, maybe we need to grow a little bit quicker. We want to make this more accessible to more people. And I think that's kind of our main goal, is to kind of expand this and give it to more people. Like, even I live an hour away from our location. I drive here every day, and there's nothing around me even that, you know, that we would use as an alternative. So, you know, just expanding a little bit quicker and being able to make this more accessible.
I read something about you and Walmart. What are you doing with Walmart?
So we have a partnership with Walmart. We are on Walmart's app and their website. So you can buy our bread on Walmart's app and website within, I believe it's a 25-mile radius of our location. So so you can buy it on their site, and then their delivery drivers will come pick it up and then deliver it. So they have a new program called Local Find. So they're starting to partner with local businesses doing creative and different concepts that they can't replicate in their own store. So we were one of the first businesses to partner with them and get that going.
Tell me about, I this may be embarrassing, I'm going to say it anyway. I never really heard or understood leavened. What is leavened?
So leaven is like the starter. So yeast is basically what a lot of businesses and companies use to leaven the bread. So we, like I said, the sourdough starter, we use just flour and water, and it's a natural leaven in the bread that we make. So yeah, so there's no yeast that goes into it, and the yeast is obviously part of what's not good in your gut when you eat the bread.
Okay, got it. You don't realize what goes into all this stuff. Let's go through some of your revenue streams. I read you had about 100 recipes. Go through, where's the money in your business? Like, is it whole grain breads are our number one seller? Like, where's the money in your model?
So about half of our sales are coming from bread, and then the other half is in sweets. So we also have a full line of sweets. So we do cakes, cookies, pies, all different sweets items. And that's also the other half of our sales. We're mostly a retail bakery. We have some wholesale accounts that we work with, mostly like little coffee shops and things like that. But most of our revenue is coming from retail. And we have over 100 recipes. We make probably 30 to 40 daily, and a little bit more on the weekends, and then a bunch of different recipes for holidays and special events and stuff. We have a chocolate cherry sourdough that we're coming out with this week. So a bunch of different things for different holidays.
That's great. Yeah, I saw pretzels and rolls and granola, brownies and cookies and scones and streusel. I'm like, wow, this is pretty pretty expansive menu. Then you had your like specialty breads, the Gilroy garlic, Mediterranean olive, which I love. That's cool.
We also, I think, you know, each franchisee will have its own kind of demographics. Like we have a big Finnish community here at Grapevine. So we make a Finnish rye bread and things like that. So we have a big catalog of recipes that would fit a lot of different demographics.
What would be an average ticket? How to explain that to me? Average ticket size walking through the door.
The average ticket we're seeing right now is about $22. Our loaves are around, you know, like $5 to $7, $6 to $7. So people usually come in, they get a few loaves for the week, and then, you know, get some sweets on their way out as well. I kind of liken us more to like a grocery type store as opposed to like a traditional bakery where people are coming in just for sweets. So that's kind of how I look at the model.
Okay. I read some of your reviews. There were people on there traveling 170 miles.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's like, I can't eat. I need them. Like, I need your product. I can't get your product anywhere. It's pretty cool.
We also have a lot of people who've moved away. So they live in New Mexico or Houston, some of the surrounding states. And we also ship bread out to them. So they'll do like their monthly orders. We'll pack up a bunch of bread and send it out to them.
Okay. How's it going on the franchise side? Are we close to our first unit? Did you already do a deal? You're just not open yet? How do you look on the development schedule?
So we're getting close to a few. We haven't signed anyone yet. We're being very picky on who we want to bring on. Like I said at the top, we're very focused on, you know, the quality of what we're putting out to our community. And we want to make sure the people that are working with us, they are also really passionate about it, and they want to, you know, feed their community the right things as well. So we've had some people come in and they want to, you know, throw a bunch of money at us and open up some locations, but they don't, you know, care too much about the brand and the quality of the products. They just think it's a good model, it's a good trend, and they want to hop on it. And that's not the type of people we're looking for. So we're being really particular and picky about who we work with.
Okay, got it. So, man, there's a lot to unpack here. You want to plug the location? Where, I mean, this is, address. And I mean, this is something that people should know about.
Yeah, so we're at 700 West Dallas Road in Grapevine, Texas. So we're right off Main Street here in Grapevine. It's a quick drive from the airport. So if you're coming in to DFW, we're about 7-8 minutes away from the airport too. So pretty convenient.
Yeah, if you're in that area, folks, you should go check it out. The reviews are remarkable. I want to say 4.8 or 4.9, and there were hundreds of them. I think it was about over 500 reviews.
Yeah, I think we're right around 500 right now, about 4.8 stars.
What's some of my data points here that I was doing some research? I love this statement that I read. Customers are no longer asking, is the bread cheap? They're asking, is the bread real? Love that.
Mm-hmm.
So much.
Yeah.
See how it's changing, right? How the consumer has been myopically focused on price and convenience and the length of shelf life. And now they're like, it needs to be real. It needs to not hurt me. It needs to be, you know, digestible. I love how things are changing that way. Customers are willing to pay 2 to 4 times grocery store bread pricing for real bread. You would echo that. You have an average ticket of $20-something, and you said 6 to 8 for a loaf?
Yeah, I believe that 2 to 4 numbers probably low. Like I was saying, our competition necessarily isn't grocery stores. And you look at what people are paying at farmers markets, and they're paying $12 to $15 a loaf. So they're seeking that out. They're seeking out, you know, quality ingredients. They want to know what's in their food. And I think what we are doing and our pricing is a little bit lower than that, just because of the scale that we can do it at. So I think there's a lot of room for growth as well.
What are you doing to acquire customers? Meaning, do you target celiac disease, like Facebook groups? Because I had a brand that was a gluten-free brand, and that's what they did on Facebook. They targeted any gluten intolerance, a celiac disease, all that. People are like, wow, there's a brand for us. And what are you doing to acquire customers?
That's a great idea. We haven't done really any advertising. The previous owners, they never did any advertising. When we took it over, the business was doing great. There was really no need to do any advertising. We've been focused on getting our systems in place and operations standardized to be able to scale. So it hasn't been something that we're focused on. Like I said, a lot of our our sales and traffic has been organic, of just people so excited that, you know, they just want to tell everyone. And it's really grown organically. And I think it's a huge opportunity for franchisees. Once they come in and they start turning on their advertising and marketing, it's really going to blow it out. It hasn't been something we've been focused on. We want to focus on supporting franchises and make sure that, you know, they're able to get up and running. So that's kind of been our focus. But okay. Yeah, it's a huge opportunity for us.
But Brian, to be clear, there's no scenario where you're making a chicken cutlet or a cold cut sandwich. There's no cold cuts or cooking, if you will, in your model. It's a baking model.
No. Yeah, everything's grab and go. So we don't even have any seasoning right now. So we don't do any sandwiches or anything like that. It's right. Really minimal ingredients. It's really easy to get up and running. Less equipment to less build out costs. Makes everything a lot easier.
Totally. So that being said, there's no indoor seating. This is a grab and go business model. What's the square footage?
So our building, because the previous owners built it, they built it bigger than what we need. We're about 3,000 square feet. We're targeting about 2,000 to 2,200 square feet for new locations. So that's kind of where we're sitting right now. We're hoping to open a second corporate location sometime this summer. And that location will be closer to about 2,000 square feet.
Where's that going to be?
So we're looking at like the Louisville, Carrollton area, which is about 20 minutes about east of here.
Okay. You did some studies.
A little bit closer to Dallas.
Okay. Got it. Interesting. Yeah. All right. Great. I know you're a tech guy, so you've got your whole tech stack in there. What are you doing technology wise to drag Bread House into the 21st century?
So when I took over the business, they had a 30-year-old cash register, a website that was barely a website, no social media. So that was the first thing we did was we brought in Toast. So we have a new, so we can do online ordering, we can do delivery, you know, two POSs now up front. And then obviously we rebuilt the website. We did a lot of social media. And now we just launched our first version of an app for our bread bakers. So now what happens is the app will look at, you know, previous sales from the week and then give estimates for what we should make this week. And then using those estimates, it'll make the recipe sheet for what we need to do for those days. So they can come in, look at the app, see it's all automated for them.
Little AI in there?
A little bit, yeah. We're using Claude right now to go through and look at our Toast sales and then go into the app and kind of update everything.
Yeah, I'm sure you're seeing what's going on with SaaS.
Yeah.
You're seeing what's going on? Holy crap.
Yeah, there's a lot happening in software right now. I wouldn't totally want to be in software.
No. Speaking of employees, let's talk about your staffing model. I was surprised at your P&L labor number, and then to find out you had 6-7 people, right? Two bread bakers, two sweet bakers, and two front counter. And I guess there's a manager would be number 7, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly right.
So we have 7. Do I need, like, what do I need to start?
So when I took over, there was one sweets baker, one bread baker, okay, and they were fine doing that. I kind of added at those positions, just, you know, if, you know, someone gets sick and, you know, or they go on vacation, I didn't want to be filling in everywhere all the time. So we kind of beefed up those two spots. So new franchisees, they could start with one at each job. All of our bakers had zero experience in baking or in the culinary world. They didn't go to culinary school, which again is a testament to our systems that they can come in and just, you know, follow instructions and get you know, beautiful loaves of bread out the door. We've actually hired people who went to culinary school and worked in bakeries, and they weren't very good at our model because they, you know, want to do things their way. That's and right. They think they have a better system, and then, you know, things start changing and slipping, and then all of a sudden you know, things are starting to get out of whack. So it's also very good for franchisees, and they don't have to, you know, look for someone with a, you know, a culinary degree, which is much harder to find. So it's worked out really well for us.
It's amazing you just said that. So many people feel like this is a cool business, but I don't have any cooking skills or baking skills, therefore I'm not going to even look into it. No, look into it. Are you passionate? Are you passionate about this conversation? Yes. Do you suffer maybe from these? Yes. And I need this product to, you know, because I love bread, but I can't eat it. Like you said, I haven't eaten it in 10 years. That shouldn't be that way, right? You have to like, this is like right up your alley. Like, I want to own. Everyone, you know, fantasizes about owning a little coffee shop in the corner. Do you sell coffee?
We are just starting to test it, but it's not really a big thing for us right now.
Okay. I could see that working in there though. I could see the aromas, there's aroma conflict when you have a store, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to model out, what do we add? Because that aroma of adding could really ruin the whole vibe in there.
Yeah, when we started testing, that was one of the first things someone said to us. You're like, I'd love this smell when I walk in here. Don't change it with coffee.
Exactly. You gotta be careful. Yeah. Scent, experience, sensories, experiential, like all that matters when you walk in the front door, and everyone loves the smell of a bakery. Let's get into the investment level. What are we looking at here to open a bread house anywhere in America?
So we're looking between like $228,000 to $580,000. A lot of that gap has to do with the build out. You know, whether it's a second generation restaurant, there's already equipment, or, you know, you're starting with a blank shell. Sometimes obviously landlord will give you some money back and a TI allowance as well. So that's kind of where the gap comes in. But yeah, the biggest thing is the equipment and the build out.
The equipment. All right. Yeah, I would think something like this would be right in the middle, $350,000. For the amount of square footage, that, not your place. Your place is big. That's 3,000 square feet. I mean, the build-out costs on that are huge. But if you stick around that 2,000, you could probably get into this for four. But again, you protected yourself. 228 to 580, and it depends where you are, because you're right, the build-out could be very pricey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Since COVID, that number has just gone through the roof. We used to be able to build out 1,500 square feet for $80,000. Like, you're not doing that for less than $150,000 now. It's crazy what has happened to the construction costs. All right, let's now get into your item 19, which I really want to dissect it. And I give you a lot of credit for how granular you got on it. I'm confused with one thing though. Why did you do, so you state the gross revenue for the 12-month period was $657,261. So $657,261. But then you said partial year operating results for the period of 6/16 through 12/31. Why the partial year period?
So we bought it in June. So we wanted to reflect the numbers that we had ownership in, and not the previous owners for the first 6 months. But as you can see in the item 19, we grew the business over those 6 months compared to the first 6 months. Okay. And we're working on our new FPD for the upcoming year, and those numbers will be even better. So we're excited about that.
Good for you. I was going to ask. Yeah. Love constant upward improvement. Good. Mm-hmm. So you're going to break the 657 number.
Yep. By a pretty good amount.
I am very hard on food. If you've ever listened to any episodes or any of my solo episodes, I'm very hard on food. So when I have a brand on that's in the food category, credit goes where credit is due, right? So you've done a great job on the top line. I could see this being a million-dollar brand. I think you know what you need to do to get it there, to scale it, right? I was impressed with your cost of goods at 25.5%. That is a very impressive COG for being in the food space, leading you to a gross profit of $290,000, which is a 74.5% gross revenue margin, right? Your labor was also impressive at 21.5, right? 83, which I have a question on that labor number. Are all seven people on payroll in the store right now? Or no, I have seven people in my company, but only three, four work at one time.
Yeah, so the front is mostly part-time. So they have different shifts, like 8 to 12 and then 12 to 5. So someone will close, someone will open. And then we usually have like a floater depending on the schedule and, you know, how busy we expect it to be. Saturday, we usually have more people staffed. And then the bread and sweets bakers, they'll usually come in from like 6 to 11, 6 to 12. So they get in, do the bake, prep for the next day, and then they're out too.
Okay, so if I walk to the store right now, how many headcounts are in there?
Probably like three or four.
That's my point,
still
around. Right, it's not seven. That franchisors tend to do this a lot, where they give us the real labor number, but they're not on payroll at the same time, right? So It's your business is really a 3-4 employee model, right? On payroll at the same time. You'll need seven, as you said, for sick, I can't make it, my kid, my this, my that, right? But if I walked in there right now, I'm looking at how many people am I paying right now per shift? I'm not paying seven per shift. I'm paying 3 to 4 per shift. That explains your labor number of 21.5%. I just got to break this down for the audience because they need to understand and level set this. Cost of goods his cost of goods are 25.5. The typical COGS in the food space is 30 to 35. Now, most brands will never see 30, right? So your bread house is running 5 to 10 points better than most restaurants. Now labor. Why am I excited about a 21.5 labor? And I'm more excited now learning that it's not seven, it's 3 to 4 headcount. A traditional restaurant, let's say fast casual, you're looking at 28 to 32%. Casual dining, 30 to 35%. Bread house is 21.5. That's not good. That's outstanding. That's exceptional labor efficiency. I don't know what you're doing and if you can replicate it, but if you can, that you have a great business model, right? Because sometimes you're masterful, but your franchisees aren't following your methodology of hiring, staffing. But with your AI and your tech savviness, you'll be able to instruct people. You don't need three people at 3 p.m. to 5, right? You'll be able to help people with that. I want to get into your gross margins after labor. Super impressive, 53%. A traditional restaurant wouldn't even hit 40. It'd probably be 35. So if I take the sum of everything I said, you're running at a 10 to 18 point margin, better than a restaurant, which is why I don't like food. The juice isn't worth the squeeze, but you're making it attractive because you're so laser focused on bread sweets. And I think you being a specialist instead of a generalist has a lot to do with the success of your business. So if I take the sum of everything I said, you're running at a 10 to 18 point margin, better than a restaurant, which is why I don't like food. The juice isn't worth the squeeze, but you're making it attractive because you're so laser focused on bread sweets. And I think you being a specialist instead of a generalist has a lot to do with the success of your business. Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. And like I said, before we bought Bread House, we looked at a lot of different businesses. And I, along with you, I'm not a fan of restaurants for all the reasons he said. And I don't see us, we're in the food space, obviously, but I don't see us as a restaurant. So I think we're able to achieve a lot of these numbers with our model.
That's great. I was going to talk about rent, cam, utilities, insurance, admin, miscellaneous. I mean, you got to be running 10, 12% rent.
So our rent's a little bit higher. That's why we didn't put it in. And because of the uniqueness of the building, it was, you know, built by the previous owners and it's much bigger than, you know, a typical franchise will be. So it didn't really seem like apples to apples to put it in for the FDD. And so that's why we left it out, because I don't think it would be a good comparison to what a franchisee would deal with.
That's fair. Did the sellers keep the building and you pay them rent, or did you buy everything?
They kept the building, but we have the first right of refusal to buy it. They're ready to sell.
Yeah, good for you. Good. Listen, I'm gonna come and visit you in March.
Yeah, come down.
In March. I also noticed that you were closed Sunday and Monday.
Yeah.
That also helps with your labor model.
Yeah, yeah. So we're only open 9 to 4 and only Tuesday through Friday, Tuesday through Saturday. So yeah, closed on Sundays and Mondays. The way our system works is that someone needs to be in the day before we're open to do the mix of all the bread and everything and get it set up. Otherwise, we would open on Mondays. But because of that, I don't want our workers coming in on Sunday to come, you know, do the mix and all that. So to give them Sunday off, we also have to be closed on Monday. So it's just part of that. But that'll be an option for the franchisee if they decide they want to open 7 days a week. That'll be an opportunity for them.
You'll let them. Yeah. Or you're the Chick-fil-A of bread.
Yeah.
We're closed on Sundays. It's very cool, man. You got to check this out, folks. Bread House Bakery, 700 West Dallas Road in Grapevine, Texas. Very, very cool. Open 9 to 4 versus owning a restaurant 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week. Brian, I got to thank you for coming on, man. I like what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you, Cliff. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you featured today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FRANOCITY.com. We love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.